Ladies and gentlemen, this is Russ from Loud and Opinionated, and I was paid to be here. Oh, wait, I'm not getting paid? Oh, then why am I doing this? Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I was told that I'm not getting paid, but I'm still going to do it because I love the man. Ladies and gentlemen, the only man that I know that can incorporate the Peanuts comic strip with MMA. I've never seen anybody do it, but he does it really well. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brian the Truth Little.
I appreciate the love and I appreciate the plug there, Loud and Opinionated with Russ. It has been an entire month since I have spoken to you solo, but that's what's happening. YFB is flying solo, broadcasting live. Good evening, Blockhead Nation, and thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to, if you didn't already know, your favorite Blockhead. The only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. I am your host. My name is Brian Little. And wow, from the moment we put out the podcast with Tom from the Grindhouse Radio, everything changed for at least 5 to 6 days. Let me give you an update. In case you don't know, this podcast is coming to you from the North Texas DFW area. I live about 30 miles south of Dallas. And if you happen to be tuning in another part of the world, in your neck of the woods, you may not be aware, but I don't think it has ever happened that in our state, every single county had temperatures that were in the single digits. I mean, if you looked at the map of Texas from this week, I mean, yeah, it's going to be diversified all the way across, depending on the cold weather throughout the winter into the time that we get into early spring break. Yeah, that's true. But I've never in my lifetime, because I've been asked this, never in my lifetime have I seen the whole state go into the apocalyptic lockdown that it went through when all of the grids decided to shut down on us Texans. Now, I don't want to get deep into the spider web of all of the events. I'm going to be twisting and turning in every event that's happened. I just believe that the crucifixion of these companies is far from over at this point. What I can do is give you an update of what's been happening over here at the Blockhead Mansion. We lost power at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning and did not get it back until about 6 p.m. on Wednesday evening. So it started off, we were just kind of roughing it out. We had some neighbors that had a generator. We went by and spent some time with them. Did the same thing the next night. Then the third day, our pastor said, hey, come by and get you a cold shower and come get you a hot meal. We took them up on it. Other than that, we were just kind of literally stumbling around in the dark with our flashlights and trying to make things work. Then the next day, the church opened up their doors again, and we swung by, and we got, you know, nice and warm, and we spent some time with those we love at the church. And I have to also give a quick shout-out here. All of us in the YFB Network are working on building our own platforms. We have our merchandise. If it wasn't for the Grindhouse Radio, and I mean this with all sincerity, because I don't get cold. I get cold, but not to the level that the little redhead girl does. I don't get cold to where I have to put up on layers and layers of clothing. So when this happened, if it had not been for the Grindhouse Radio, I would not have had a toboggan to keep my head warm. I just wouldn't. I don't have any of those stashed away anywhere. So thanks to them, I was a little bit warmer, because when I first sent away for the autographed pictures that I have of all of the different caricatures of the Grindhouse Radio, of Kim and Brimstone and Zambo and Tom, I have all those now, but I also happen to have a t-shirt that I purchased. They threw in there a mask and they threw in a beanie, a toboggan. Without that, it would have been a lot harder on me to be able to keep the warmth that I was trying to keep in my body. So I'm actually very thankful to the Grindhouse Radio for that little perk that I had, Chris. Without that little piece of merchandise, then yours truly would have been worse off. I honestly believe that. I have to have borrowed it from somebody. But, you know, it was just an interesting time. And in the midst of all this, you have so many events that are rising to the surface. The incompetence or the inability to do their jobs when it comes to the company called ERCOT and Oncor, who happen to be over the major power grids and are having the finger pointed at them for the power outages, which really you can. Me and Dan were talking about this the other day. Rabadan USA were discussing this, that according to an WFAA article that I looked at, this is only one source. According to that, when you have these power grids and you have these solar wind energy, there's supposed to be what's called a winterize that you do, where you actually test out the equipment and make sure that it is prepared for the winter storms that come in. Well, it's never been to where the entire state has gone into single digits across the grid like we had this time. So you had a perfect storm to where these companies got backed into a corner without an answer for it. And I'm not trying to excuse them. I'm just saying the crucifixion for these companies is far from over. Not to mention a lot of people are turning and paying attention to what's happened with Ted Cruz taking a trip to Cancun. You know, I don't try to get political on this show, but, you know, there's a lot of rush to judgment at this point. Now, I stole that title from an actual book that was written by a gentleman after the Kennedy assassination, one of the very first to bring to the surface that this may not have been done by a lone gunman. It was called Rush to Judgment. And in a way, I'm trying to use that as a play on words, but I look at all these events and I don't want to say that I have an answer to it, but we have to ask the question. When you see things like ERCOT, the company that runs the power in our state, but then you have Oncor, who's underneath the same umbrella, when all these are happening and we have this total blackout and these shutouts, and they say, well, there's going to be these timed outages because the power grids are frozen solid, or even the wind energy is frozen solid, regardless of that happens, that's not a good enough answer for the public that is sitting in their homes basically freezing. And someone would say freezing to death. We've already had a few of them that have happened. This is going to be, I'm sorry, this is going to be on their hands. So I don't want to be one of those podcasters who's quick to, as the title says, rush to judgment at this point. And we've also had a beloved, in some realms, also I guess you can say very divisive, very polarizing figure in the world of radio that has passed on. Yes, I'm talking about the passing of Rush Limbaugh. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I am a fan of his. But, you know, all of these things are kind of happening at the same time. We get our power back, and then we are sitting by and waiting to see what's happening with the wattage and if we're going to be charged our electric bills, us sitting here in our homes. We have those that are finally able to get power in the midst of all of this, and it has been a very weird and very trying time for us Texans. It just has. And this is because I've had people ask me, have you experienced anything like this? And my answer is absolutely not. And I don't believe that these major companies, the administration, had great answers for what's going on. I'm not the only one. There are people that are infuriated, that are outraged. There are people that are worse off than we were. Maybe those who had medical conditions, like they had oxygen tanks where they have to actually have power for them to be able to breathe. Then you have young children, you have the elderly. I know of one nursing home that had to actually relocate using the school district school buses. I mean, this was a very trying time this last week for us. And we have these companies that are going to be facing class action lawsuits. I guarantee you there's going to be a thorough investigation because Governor Abbott has come out and said he demands an answer. And again, I don't want you to think that I'm getting political with all this, but there's been so much that's happened, not to mention Ted Cruz takes this trip, Rush Limbaugh passes away, and I look at some of the nasty comments that are happening. I know. Do you see how this is twisting and turning in all of the events that happened? This is a spider web that I'm caught up in over here at the YFB mansion, and I'm sitting here going, where do the wheels actually fall off of the bus in each of these events? So it's a lot. We are very fortunate that we have survived the cold, that there are not any broken pipes in our home, but there's so many that are facing that. And my answer to this, are we quick to rush to judgment, or are we justified in who we are ready to put on the chopping block? And it certainly seems like these major companies, not so much the linemen, not so much the workers, but the higher-ups who don't have a great answer that is not being accepted well by the public. Then you have Ted Cruz, who is demanding that people stay warm, while meanwhile he's taking his family to Cancun. But then you have people like Rush Limbaugh who end up passing away, and there are these people who put these negative comments out. And I go, okay, it's just a lot. But to get back to the passing of the conservative radio star that is Rush, okay, if you are even not familiar with his show, there have been, and again, I'm sorry if I left you in a tailspin there, but to just bring it up about him, if we go back in history, one of the very first to ever use any type of motivational talk that was listened to in 8-track tapes, then later on into cassette tapes, or eventually heard on the radio, there was this iconic man by the name of Earl Nightingale, who released this recording called The Strangest Secret. If you've not heard this, I suggest you go back and listen to it. It's free on YouTube. And then you have this era where we bring in Paul Harvey, who tells us the rest of the story. And these are for radio listeners that happen to be tuning in as they drive to and from work, or when they are maybe on transit on a train or something like that. They would be able to hear Paul's depiction of what's going on in the world. Then you advance forward into conservative radio that almost went under until this very brash and very opinionated man by the name of Rush Limbaugh comes in. And if you look at it, Rush is the guy that kicked the door open, who was the pioneer for all these other well-known radio talk show hosts. Well, look at what's happening here. You're listening to a person who has plugged in a microphone, has decided to sit down and share his opinions or his views on what's going on in the world. I've chosen mostly the world of the peanuts and mixed martial arts, but I go all over the board sometimes too. And a lot of us are just on the coattail of what Rush Limbaugh did. And then you come on the back end of this gentleman who passes away, who his wife gives the announcement over the radio when they're expecting to hear from him. And I look at these comments that are made. I look at this spewing of all this vitriol that happens. Opinions set aside, we're all human beings. Whatever happens with ERCOT and Encore is going to be, at the end of the day, we're going to see this thing ride out. Whatever happens to Ted Cruz at this point, a year from now, where is he going to be? Rush Limbaugh has officially passed away, and we are so quick to judge, and we are so quick to say that, you know, this is a guy who other radio hosts like Dave Ramsey have said that he was an introvert. What you saw on the radio when he was in his element is not the same guy who you would meet in his living room. This is somebody who is just assumed not go to the party. But you wouldn't think that with his tone and with his antics that he pulls. And yeah, he's left a bad aftertaste in a lot of people's mouths with things like his comments a few years ago about Michael J. Fox, or about the student that he accosted on his show. And again, I could go into all those details. But once again, when the time comes, people are already saying things like, oh, we know where Rush Limbaugh is. Okay, how do you know? And who are we? Regardless if you are a conservative or not, whether you are appreciative of his approach or not, the same man is no longer with us. And he even instilled in the minds of people that are in the YFB network or other networks of podcasters to be able to go out and do the same thing. For us, really, just to be our own boss, because we are not being broadcasted on the radio. But you cannot deny what he's done for the industry. And I share all that simply because if you are a person who is, quote, happy to see him gone, I advise you to look inward and see what other demons that you are facing. I'm not going to point fingers at all of the events that's happened with our political leaders and our... I'm not going to add to the vitriol. I'm not going to be the one that... I mean, I'm going to be questioning a lot of things, and I'm going to be watching them from afar. But if you want me to pick a side, if you want me to have an opinion, my answer is, are we so quick to rush to judgment? This public service announcement is brought to you by your favorite blockhead. Go check out all the independent podcasters on the YFB Network. This network was started to collaborate and to grow every single one of these podcasters and many more to come. Check out who we currently have. There are many more to come. There are some that are sitting in the lobby right now, ready to sit in the hot seat with your favorite blockhead. So the network is going to continue to grow. What we need from you, Blockhead Nation, is to go check out these other podcasts. Give them a 5-star review. Give them a rating. Subscribe to their shows. And let the world know that this is a group of podcasters who will get you through your week. We'll also live by the 3 E's. To educate, to entertain, and to edify. Go check out the YFB Network today. Our scripture reading this evening comes from Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 through 17. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, guys, I share that kind of as a brief afterthought of a few things I'm discussing. When I look at all that was discussed earlier in this podcast, I don't put my trust in the leaders of my nation. I mean, I do give my due diligence. I do pledge allegiance. I do give respect to our leaders in office, but I'm not waiting on them to deliver me from my woes and from my troubles. I have the reassurance of what's happening in these scriptures that I just shared with you. And also the understanding that it doesn't mean every tear is going to be wiped away in this lifetime. Every tear, as it's discussed in Revelation 7, really is discussing that these tears will be wiped away in heaven. On this earth, we're going to have our share of pain. We're going to have our tears to endure. And I encourage you, listeners, to bring this to God, because one day, not now, in heaven, he will wipe them away forever. Now, as I get into mixed martial arts, there is a very interesting segment about a well-known MMA journalist. If you don't know, some of y'all that have tuned into my show, when you catch the second segment when I fly solo, you hear that I talk about mixed martial arts, okay? Because that happens to be my sport. My comic happens to be the Peanuts. I know all the TV specials. I've also mentioned on my Facebook that there is this new Kofi Commissions that I'm going into. It's a competition for the week of February. If you have anything that you want me to share on this show, favorite comic strip, favorite Peanuts TV special, I'll be glad to discuss it. Go to my Facebook page, go to the links that I have for Kofi.com/your favorite blockhead and look at the criteria for that. But on the back end of this, on the second part of the podcast, you get my sport, which happens to be mixed martial arts. I'm a huge UFC fan. There has been another incident that has come to the forefront, and it happens to be low blows, cross shots. Now, I'm referring to Ariel Helwani going off on the ref for a fight with a guy named Gabe Green. This guy ended up getting 2 low blows in one fight, and he goes off on this tangent about how there are points taken away or there are no points taken away. He's getting that a foul is a foul. I mean, I've never seen him get this riled up, but he is obviously at his end when it comes to low blows and crotch shots. Now, if you are a casual fan, you are sure that there are 3 things that you would count on seeing a ref make a call for if it happened in a fight. There should be no eye gouging. There should be no crotch shots, and there should be no biting. Now, as far as I know, we haven't had a bite yet. We have not had a Tyson Holyfield incident that's happened in our sport that I know of as of right now. But there have been some problems with the eye gouges every once in a while where the gloves in UFC do not bend the fingers enough to where they are kept out of the opponent's eye. Every once in a while when they try to get range and get distance, sometimes there's an eye poke that happens. And then you have a stoppage that happens in the fight. This has been a problem, but another one that's coming to the forefront are these low blows, these crotch shots. And this is what Ariel Helwani was going over the top about, that Gabe Green should not only have been told, okay, it was an accident. Who walks into a UFC fight or an MMA bout and intentionally gives somebody a low blow? But he is going off. Ariel Helwani is very heated under the collar about, oh, man, he got no penalty for this at all. Now, my question is it the referee's fault or is it the Nevada State Athletic Commission's call that was followed through that might need to be re-examined after this fight? You want to know what I'm talking about? You can go find it on ESPN Plus. It's Ariel and the Bad Guy. It was prior to the fight between Kamaru Usman and Edmund Burns. So when you look at this, you would agree that a crotch shot should mean, okay, we send these guys to their corners. Does he take a point away or does he not? And unfortunately, the answer to that is it has not been changed by the Nevada Athletic Commission for you to have penalties for these shots, which I think, you know, maybe there might be a point to where it needs to be looked at, just like the eye gouges are becoming a problem. But it doesn't look good for the sport, but I'm really surprised by how much he goes off at this. I had to bring that one to the forefront, simply that if you were watching a fight and the guy gets no points taken away, it's like, okay, who's making these calls? It's easy to rush to judgment, as I mentioned earlier, that this is on the referee. It really is something that tends to fall between the cracks. So I would hope that this gets reexamined after all of this. But if you have the most well-known MMA journalist and known to the industry out there that's screaming about it at the top of your lungs, I would assume that this is going to get the attention of the commission. I would certainly hope. Now, getting into Kamaru Usman. Now, I really don't know if I'm going to make a solid point on this one, but I would hope you hear me out. There used to be a time where if you even suggested that anybody other than George St. Pierre was the greatest welterweight in the division, you were seen as either a know-nothing fan or you were seen as an imbecile. And now, at this point, just it's a little bit premature. But if Kamaru Usman continues in the direction that he's going with hitting the lucky number 13, just like all these other fighters that have, we have the most finishes in UFC history, which would go to Anderson Silva at number 16. Kamaru Usman sitting at 13, along with some other great guys like Demetrius Johnson and so on. But it's like Usman is getting overlooked by too many. I don't know what it is. There is this tongue-in-cheek that seems to apply between two fighters, one that's fighting tonight and one that is still holding the welterweight strap. Kamaru Usman just doesn't seem to be getting the appreciation that he needs. It's like the guy has shown up and he's finished his opponents, and yet he's not given the appreciation that he deserves. And it's almost like now I want to say that he's made a mistake right out of the gates, because as soon as he gets on the microphone, I asked the little redhead girl this. I said, if you are the champion, which way is this supposed to work? Do you call somebody out for a title fight, or does somebody have to call you out for a title fight? What the little redhead girl said in response was, the number one contender should be calling out the champion. Exactly. But Usman has cleaned everybody out in the division, and now all he's got left is another guy that he's already beat once, but there was a title that was not up for grabs, known as the BMF title. I guess this time he could be holding both simultaneously if he went through a full training camp and actually fought Jorge Masvidal. He already has fought him once on short notice, and you see the interview that he has. Usman really hasn't done anything wrong, but it is, when you call somebody out, there's a reason why the president does not go after a governor of a state. You don't talk down. You talk your way up in that particular realm, in that arena. Same thing happens here. If you're holding the title, then you should be figuring out who's going to be the number one contender. Stipe Miocic is not calling out Curtis Blaydes or Derek Lewis, but we'll see what happens at the result of this fight tonight. But Usman's called out Masvidal for a second go-around, this time with a full training camp. But has he asked for the BMF strap? Maybe that's the only error that I can give him, but who is he supposed to call out at this point? It's an interesting dynamic with Usman at this point. It's almost like a catch-22. And I just look at it that Usman has been doing everything right, and the public just doesn't want to give it to him. Another guy that happens to be Curtis Blaydes tonight. Now, this one might be a little bit easier for me to dissect because Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis is the main event for tonight's UFC. And I will be watching this main event. I'm very curious about it. Most of us that are down here in Texas are expecting me to call for the Black Beast Derek Lewis to win because of the heaviness of his hands, but also the one-hit continuous catchphrases that he has and his mic skills. How quick you are to rush to judgment and how quickly you are to dismiss the wrestling machine that is Curtis Razor Blaydes. It just seems like by now you would think that MMA fans would give a little bit more of a curtsy to wrestlers. But people tune in as they want to see the blood. They want to see the hand-to-hand combat. They keep believing that Curtis Blaydes is going to be nothing but wrestling with him for every single round. How quickly we forget how dangerous his elbows are once he has you in takedown and in guard position. Now, Curtis Blaydes doesn't need me to defend him, but I am encouraging you that are listening to this podcast tonight, if you're going to check out the main event between Derek Lewis and Curtis Blaydes, the story here is if Derek Lewis is able to get his heavy hands on Curtis Blaydes, he's going to sleep. If we go to ground and pound, there is a strong possibility that Curtis Blaydes will be able to hold top position. If Derek Lewis is able to do what he's done in a couple of other fights, if he gets Curtis Blaydes on the ground, those hammers that are on his arms are going to easily put him to sleep. But it comes down to Curtis Blaydes has very dangerous elbows when he's in ground and pound position. How quickly are we going to forget that he finished Junior Dos Santos while standing on his feet? Are we so quick to dismiss Curtis Blaydes to think that the number two guy in the heavyweight division doesn't have a chance against the number four? And you probably, there are going to be some that are listening that are going to get mad at me. How can you not go for our guy that's in Houston? Excuse me for a minute. I'm willing to admit that wrestling holds a place in mixed martial arts, and all you gotta do back is look at some of the greats known as Matt Hughes or George St. Pierre and start to follow the pattern. And I remember watching the cardio of both of these guys the last time that they fought. Derek Lewis admitted that he needed to work on his cardio conditioning. Curtis Blaydes admitted that he needs to learn how to breathe better inside the octagon because those takedowns are taking all the wind out of his sails. But yes, are you irritated about it? I'm irritated that Curtis Blaydes is being dismissed. But I understand that it would be a fresh coat of paint if Derek Lewis moves forward and wants to face the winner of Nagano versus Stipe at UFC 260, which now we happen to have another joker thrown in the deck. We happen to have an outside interference known as John Jones. And how quickly this guy gets dismissed again. Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis, the wrestler versus the heavy-handed Houston. If you're thinking my pick tonight is Curtis Blaydes, my pick is whoever is getting to the ground first. When we get to the ground, whoever's in top position is going to be my pick tonight. And I'm tired of the wrestler not getting the proper respect that they deserve in the world of mixed martial arts. There it is. Curtis Blaydes doesn't need me to defend him, but I'm telling you, Derek Lewis had better be in his defense position tonight. He better know how to sprawl because those shots that are coming in from Curtis Blaydes are going to be like a razor going through butter. Be prepared, Blockhead Nation, for what Curtis Blaze is going to bring to the table tonight. That's where I drop the mic on you. This has been your favorite blockhead. We'll see you next week with Zach Sanders. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.